the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, it's a huge welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry, joined always by my good friend Bernie. Mate, what is happening this week?
Been a big week. You know, we just had the trial game and the footy's back, mate. The footy's back, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, now you have seen the trial match or not?
Yes, watched it.
Okay, because I know you were sort of preoccupied at the time, so you watched it last night, is that correct?
Yeah, I watched the replay. I had to do a bit of a four-hour round trip. But yeah, when I got home, watched the replay. So it was bad for Nick because she had to watch it for a second time. So I was like, and the whole way through. And it was funny because we're like about halfway through the game. And St. George were just mounting their comeback. And then Nick goes, oh, Barry said that he thinks St. George's going to get the wooden spoon. I think they're... Oh, there's no way they're going to get the wooden spoon. And straight away, I'm like, oh, fuck, we've lost this game. You know, like... I'm like, she's just giving it away without meaning to. By saying, oh, you know, oh, I don't know what Barry's talking about. Like, St. George are a good team. And I'm looking at the scoreboard. And I think we were still leading by, you know, six or so. And I just went, hang on, what's going to happen here? Like, she's seen the game already. Yeah, so... I don't know. I like the trial games. I do. You expect to win. I mean, there's a fair bit to be taken out of the trial games. You get to see basically your B-side against their B-side in the first trials. The second trials, you seem to get a bit more first-grade action. Yeah. What do you think? Was it a good game?
Well, the start was great. I was enjoying it up to a point. And then things fell away. Now, I have mentioned previously on other episodes... My father is a mad Saints fan, so
yes.
They're a bogey team for me that we're always going to lose against them because my dad's going to have bragging rights about the whole thing. So
you're coming down for the St. George game, aren't you?
Yeah, now that you mention it. is it Saints? Is it Saints I'm coming down for?
Yeah, it's St. George. I think April 3rd. Is that when you're coming down?
Yeah, I am. Same. Oh, no. Yeah, no, we're not going to win that one. So I'm flying from central Queensland down to Sydney. And my dad's coming to the game. So, mate, if you're in footy tipping, make sure you tip the Saints that week. Let me give
I
you
might put
tip
some money on St. George that weekend, mate. There's some money to be had.
Yeah, very much. So, look, I really enjoyed the opening.
Well, up until Reed went off the field, basically. I mean, he was controlling the players nicely. And it just goes to show how important the number nine is. I mean, he just led the team by the scruff of the neck first 20 minutes. You know, three tries and then off he went. And then, you know, shit got real, as it always seems to do.
I mean, go back before that, of course, we have the injury, which we now know that Hayes Dunster is out for the entire season.
Yes.
So... what did we get from the trial match? We got a loss and we lost a good player who was going to be in the starting lineup for an entire year.
It hurts. That one hurts a lot. Yeah. And he was just set, like he's been working so hard, you can see, and he's just been biding his time, waiting for his opportunity. And sure enough, Sivo's out for half a year. He's got half a year to prove himself. And this happens. And yeah, I think a lot of people... not too happy with the tackle. I mean, it was a hip drop, but there didn't, I don't know, it's hard to say that there was malice in it, but he tore his knee bone in half. I mean, but what came out, which I didn't realize, is did you know who Hayes Dunster is currently dating?
The sister of the gentleman who broke his, or not
sister
broke,
of,
did the knee
yeah,
damage,
well,
it's
ripped in three places, so he might as well be broken. Yeah, but he's dating Tyrell's sister, so...
yeah.
And she's a player as well. She plays for St. George. So
Oh, really?
Yeah, so conspiracy theories could be out. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe he was a bit of a vendetta for dating his sister. He wasn't too happy. But they've been together since 2015. I did a bit of research. I think it was. So they've been together for a while.
You think he would have got it out of his system by now.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the captains. I mean, let's talk about the captains, because I do want to mention the fact that Sean Lane was captain. And I think that it lifted him, but also there was two big things in there that really concerned me about Sean. And the first one was the opening try. I mean, he had two unmarked players on his right hand side. He looked to them and then looked to the left and passed it to a marked player who got tackled. That scares me. I mean, you got two unmarked players, Jacob Arthur, and I don't know who the other player was, but I don't know why he didn't pass. He looked, saw they were unmarked, and then decided to go back to the left. The other one that he did was the charge down. Why a prop is doing a charge down is ridiculous, because the only way you're going to get the ball back is if you're a speedy half and you're able to, you know, do a charge down and quickly pounce on the ball. He sticks his big mitts out, knocks the ball down, and they just pick it up and six again, and then they went and scored. And that was their opening try. So, once again, it's a trial game, but there's certain things you see in a play that you know they're going to bring into the regular season. And that worried me a bit about him. He did look powerful, looked very fit. I think being the captain, he was only on for however long, you know. Might as well have made Jordan captain. He was on most of the game. Anyway, I do think that naming a forward captain does lift them, and I do think that's why Junior has been named joint captain. He's trying to lift him, even though he's a brilliant player and, you know, he's easily our best forward. I think he's trying to take him up to that next level of a forward. So what are your thoughts on the two captains?
Well, going back to the trial match, Gutho was interviewed on the sideline about it all, and he seemed perfectly happy with the situation. There was no animosity. There doesn't seem to be any sort of friction there in that arrangement. So that's a good sign, I think. And I think hopefully it's just really about that division of labor, is that Paulo takes care of the forwards and Gutho takes care of the backs. And that's pretty much how it's going to go. So it's not an uncommon scenario. I mean, Cleary and Isaiah Yeo were both co-captains. The Roosters had Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend. North Queensland in 2015, Jonathan Thurston and Matt Scott. So, and if you remember when Ricky Stewart was our coach there for a very brief period of time, we had Hain, Rennie and Tim Manor. Like, we had co-captains galore. So it's not an uncommon scenario. And
the Tigers, I think, had five captains. So that might give you an idea of how that that works out. So,
but did they have five captains at once, or it was rotating because people were injured?
No, all at the same. Why not just name everyone captain? Everyone can be captain.
You know? Yeah, everyone gets a prize. I think five is very different to the scenario we have of two. So yeah. I agree with the points you were making last week, that perhaps it was just part of Junior's negotiations that he was given that to justify his pay.
Yep.
So I don't know. I personally think at the moment I'm all for it. Well, I guess we're just going to have to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's fine. I mean, you can't put too much pressure on Gutho. He's already carrying the team as it is. So to name someone else co-captain, I just found it an interesting choice. I do think it was part of the negotiations. It's like, okay, we're paying him a lot of money here, which they no doubt had to. I don't know how much he got. But now he's got to turn up to press conferences. Now he's got to do, you know, sideline interviews. You know, now he has certain added responsibilities. He's going to earn that money. So it's almost like the club said, look, we'll give you the added money, but, you know, you're going to take the added responsibility with it. You don't just get to have the money and then go off, you know, have early showers. So, So I think it's a good idea. Not most teams have two, like you said, most teams have joint captains, but, I don't know. We'll see how it pans out.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
Back to the trial game. First and foremost, I don't care about the score. And I say that honestly. I don't care if you win or lose the trial game, because it's, you know, they had Moose McGuire as their 5'8", and, you know, they're just, that's ridiculous, you know. He's putting up bombs and stuff. I mean, a certain element of trial and error. I don't know what they were trialing with him at, you know, it's one of their halves.
Mm.
But the thing that I don't like is the fact that we were 16 points ahead and we let them just back into the game by doing stupid errors. I mean, that's that becomes our culture. And we've had that culture for a long time. All long-suffering Eels fans will know the Eels with a 20-point lead is basically nothing. It's doesn't count for anything because we have a habit of handing over massive leads. We've never really had the team to shut down a game. We've always, I think we've had a team that can have, that has a lot of points in them, and they, when they try to shut down a game, they end up doing crazy things, and they would be better off just trying to pile on the points. So the fact that we got chased down concerns me a bit. Like, I just think it bleeds into the culture, the club culture of these new players coming through. So that's the only negative. I think there were a lot of positives. I think that Hayes Mark II, the uninjured Hayes Perham, he was really impressive. Very fast, you know, really fast feet. He seemed to be in control the whole time. He didn't seem to be, you know, under any pressure. He's a really calculated player. I guess we've got to talk about who's going to go on the wing. I mean, some people have suggested that Hayes Perham goes on the wing now. Sean Russell had a good game, apart from that silly error where he just stuck out his hand and touched the ball for no particular reason. But yep. He's young. We'll let him, you know, have that. Two other things in the game. Sorry, I got a... that annoyed right, the hell out right. of me.
You vent, yes.
Well, there was two charge downs. Like I said, with Sean charge down, Eli El-Zakim, he did one as well. So he's less experienced, so I don't mind so much. But I don't know why they were doing the charge downs. So that annoyed me a bit. But in general, I thought the positives far outweighed the negatives, apart from Dunster. So Sean Russell seemed really good. He defended well. There are a couple of last-ditch attempt defensive efforts he made, which really impressed me. I think Oregon Kafusi looked strong. He looked really good. So did Murata, but they always do. It's real. It upsets me seeing, you know, Oregon's leaving, Murata's leaving, Reed's leaving, and they, those three players, just a step above everyone else, I thought, in the trial game.
Mm. Yep.
Another one that was thrown forward on Facebook pages, and I've been saying it for a while, is throw Wonga Blake on the wing. I think that he's such a brilliant runner. He's a good jump of the ball, and he can convert, like, the ball's on the ground. He can know how to score a try, and he doesn't like to pass. So he could be an ideal winger. So we've got a few centres. So it might be worth trialing him on the wing.
Do you think they will? That is the question.
No.
So you've put forward some logic.
Yeah.
Now, how is it actually going to play out?
I tell you why it won't, because it's something that you can get highly criticised for. I mean, you got Wonga Blake, he's played his entire career at centre, and all of a sudden you're going to stick him on the wing, and if he stuffs up, then, you know, it's back on you as the coach. It's like, what the hell were you thinking? But we're definitely short of wingers at the moment. If you're going to stick Hayes, I like having Hayes in the team, Hayes Perham in the team. He just seemed really comfortable out there. Seemed really fast. And Bailey Simonson looked really impressive. Very fast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Absolutely. I love the fact, man, he milked that penalty. That was a pro.
He did get a smack to the chops. He did get a smack to the chops.
I'm not saying he didn't, but I was just, this guy is seasoned. He knows what he's doing. He knew when to lay down. And see, I keep coming back to Curtis Scott. Now, Curtis Scott is a chucklehead, and he was connected with our club. But I think we're missing a bit of mongrel. I think we're missing a bit of things like milking a penalty. We need some of that in our team. Panthers beat us last year by cheating. The Storm beat us in that grand final by cheating. I'm not advocating cheating, but we obviously need to actually, we need a wild card element to our play that is going to help nullify the fact that other teams do cheat. And milking a penalty, I'm all for it. I thought it was amazing. But he had a great game. I was very impressed. And he essentially was just like the fabric of the team. It was like he's been playing with us for 2-3 years.
Agreed. You're referring to the Kenny Edwards effect. So basically what Kenny Edwards was famous for was getting a cramp within the last minute to the last 30 seconds of a game. And he was a little bit loose. We all love Kenny. It's good to have a player like that in your team. It's good to have a Kenny Edwards style cramping Kenny in your team. So I don't know. I think that Ray Stone has that mongrel. And I also think that Kai Rodwell has that mongrel in him. But he looked a little bit subdued. I'm wondering if someone got in his ear and just said, you know, just hold back. Just have a good run. Don't go and try and take anyone's head off. He looked like he was playing within himself. He had a brilliant game. I want to see him in the starting team. I really do. I think Kai's going to work his way into the team. So, Tom Opacek, still unsure. I mean, he seems to be like he does the job. It's nothing flashy about him, but he does the job. Will Pinicini had a quiet game, I thought, but once again, trial game, just stretching the old pins out. And Jordan Rankin, what do you do with Jordan? He can kick. I think he kicked all of his goals. And he's 30 years old. He's getting on a bit. He is the backup. He's the backup half. He can play 6 or 7. So if Mitch or Brownie go down. But Hayes Perham is also a backup number 6. Very excited about a few of the players. Jake Arthur, he just needs a few more years, I think. He's just a little bit ripe. I don't like all the fans bashing him because he's very much learning his craft. I mean, you know, at that level, you just have to learn, and that's what he's doing. He's just putting in the yards. I mean, he's not going to start as long as Mitchie's healthy, but I think the fans need to just lay off him a little bit, just let the kid grow into his skin. I think he'll come good in 2 years. Mitch Rain, who we bought as a backup hooker for Reed, I'm unsure about that. Nick said he looks like a Rock'em Sock'em robot, and he kind of does play like that. He's got that robotic kind of style. I think I knew what she was talking about. He kind of looks like a robot. He gets in there, he's got good delivery, but he doesn't lead the team like Reed does. But he definitely passes well, and he's I believe he's an 80-minute player. So definitely a good buy. Bryce Cartwright, didn't get much of a run, I think. Or maybe he did, he wasn't on there for very long. I have to talk about Solomon Naduke. His first attempt at catching the ball wasn't very impressive, was it? It went straight through his legs. He got up high and it went straight through the legs. And look, I'm not going to tear him apart for being off his wing. I mean, it is a pet hate of ours that they come in. Generally, if you come in, it's because the guys inside you are coming in. You got to follow your defenders. But if you come out of the line, there's two people running at you, or three, and you come out of the line, you've at least got to hit one of them. And he came out and missed all three. I think, once again, I'll let him grow into his skin. But there was talk of him starting on the wing for us. So, I don't know. It's a bit nerve-wracking if he's going to be on that wing. It was like Sivo before Sivo learned to read the game. And, a bit unsure about that one.
If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. following the link in our show notes, lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out. Yeah, I guess I'm waiting for the first actual game to start to see how things shake out with the lineup.
Yeah. So yeah, very much so.
There's something about next week, even though it's a trial game, but we're playing the Panthers. There's just something there where I just want us to get one over them. I really, there's an expectation from me around, I really want us to actually to roll them and put them on the back foot so that when we actually meet them in the competition, we have a psychological advantage over them.
100%. I fully agree with you on that one. I actually think it's more important for us to win next week against the Panthers at Panther Stadium than it is for us to blood some of the youngsters. I actually think we need the victory going into round one, because we're round one, we're up against the Titans. Titans are no joke. They've got a solid team this year.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, they were knocking on the door of the eight, and really, if that pass had have actually gone the other way,
and it should have, very much, you know.
Yeah, I know. Heat of the moment, the poor guy.
I know, he had too many options. He had Fifita on his hip, you know, and he had who was it? Josh Thompson on the wing, I think it was. He could have gone himself, and he ended up trying to pass and go himself at the same time. Look, they're a strong team. I think it's very easy to say, but I just hope that BA loads this team for this trial game and we put a flogging on them. Can you imagine that? I think we need it. I think we need it going into round one, the confidence. And, you know, they'll all say, oh, it's just a trial game, just a trial game. You got to get that buzz into the team going into round one. If we go into round one against the Titans undercooked, and if we get touched up by the Panthers, like, they looked bloody good. They didn't even have any of their first graders in there, and they looked bloody good. You know, they won by 40-odd, didn't they? And so, I don't know. I would load that team, and it looks like he is going to. He's putting most of the first graders in there. However, whenever I've gone out to Pepper Stadium to watch, we seem to get the Panthers a lot in the trial games. Every time I've gone out there, it's the same thing. We, like, play for 20 minutes and then he pulls all the main guys off and starts rotating, which you're supposed to do. But I just think this weekend, we should treat it as round one. I agree with you. If we can get one up on the Panthers going into round one, starts the season off with a bang.
Just to go back to the St. George's, the Wooden Spooners, I think that the house party really decimated their team last year. So I think they just, there's going to be a real delay around their rebuild.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why I think they're going to struggle to find their feet. That's sort of my logic behind that. I know it sort of seems at the moment, and quite possibly the bookies know the most, but everyone seems to be talking about the Cowboys as the spoon. But I just think their team got completely gutted last year, and I just think that's going to take a bit of time to get over.
I'm curious about the Bulldogs. I'm curious about how they're going to bounce back with their new players that they've bought, and they have a bit of a buzz going about them. I can't see them getting in the top eight, though. I think they're going to be down there again. So, and I agree with you with St. George. I think they're going to be down there. I think they're going to be one of those danger teams that you play week in, week out. And if they click, look out. But I think most weeks they're not going to click and they're going to fall apart. So
I'm interested in two teams this year. I'm interested in the Doggies to see how they go with their rebuild. And I'm interested in seeing the Broncos with their rebuild. Obviously, Adam Reynolds is a great player. And I'm interested to see that Kevy's been given, obviously, another year. So he's got rid of a little bit of anxiety, I guess, and he's a bit more experienced in that role. And now that they've bought well, like, Reynolds is a genuinely good buy for them, even though the talk is that essentially his back isn't as great as it could be, and he's obviously getting up there. But he's going to bring a bit of leadership and some experience and grand final experience at that. So
state of origin experience. I mean, he's got it all.
I'm really keen to watch them, and because the other podcast that I do, the Dummy M, my co-host T-Dog, he's a mad Broncos fan. So when I went to Magic Round, I asked to borrow a Broncos shirt. So when the Broncos game was on, I could rep the Broncos for him. And so being friends with him, it's kind of, they're not my second team. I don't have a second team, but I'd like them to do well, you know, for my friend. Mm. And I'm really interested in seeing how they go this year.
Bit of a concern, I think, that Kevy loaded their team this weekend. He wanted the victory, and he said outright, I want the victory. Mm. And they were trailing by 18 or so points. They had a very good comeback victory, and Kevy was jumping up and down on the sideline like they had won the grand final almost. I don't know how good Kevy is. I don't know how bad the team is. I'm not sure he's the right man for the job. I think they're going to be down there again. They're going to be down the bottom three or four. I mean, because of that, I think Reynolds will. I don't think he'll see the full season through. Traditionally, he hasn't. I mean, he's always had some sort of injury. So, and they keep losing their players. There's rumours that Jermaine Asaiko's coming to us, Parramatta, for the year. I mean, he's definitely going to the Dolphins next year, but there's talk about him coming to us. So they are struggling to keep their young players. They've had a lot of players leave in the last few years, and it's too much. I think they're going to be way down the bottom. Storm looked absolute dog shit this weekend, and it was fantastic to see them looking dog shit. Bellyache traditionally does not give a flying fuck about anything to do with trials. He's outright said it, and he pretty much showed it by the team that he threw out there. Does not care for it at all. So he didn't care for the Nines either. He hated the Nines. He'd always field a rubbish team for the Nines. But I still think they're going to struggle to make top eight Storm this year. What a brilliant season we've got ahead of us. Eels are looking shiny. The Doggies and Manly still looking good. But the Storm looking crap. I'm predicting Parramatta Manly Grand Final 2022. and Tommy Turbo will bust his knee, and then that'll be the end of it. We'll flog him 50-0 in the Grand Final.
Well, you have heard it here first. It's going to be a Manly Parramatta Grand Final, according to Bernie. After that trial and the injury to Hayes so early on, I'm scared for the season, because I just think part of it, obviously, for every team is about remaining injury-free. When you speak about Tommy Turbo, we both have a friend who's a mad Manly supporter, Madigan, and he said when he watched the Manly trial, every time Tommy touched the ball, he was nervous because he didn't want him to get injured. So
I didn't watch that game. I'm surprised they actually played him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Wow. But it could have been like Reed, could have been like 20 minutes and they just gave him a run.
Yeah.
So I've got to be honest, the trials put a bit of a dampener on this season for me, because now I'm cautious and I'm not as optimistic as I once was in terms of us having a stellar season, because really it's just going to come down to particular injuries, and now we've got this puzzle to solve on the wing, and it's going to take a couple of weeks for us to find out. However, obviously the women start soon, so best of luck to them. And taking on the Knights this weekend.
I think week. Geez. I'm looking forward to that too. That's going to be brilliant. I think they named their team today, so I'll have to get familiar with the players. I don't know too many of the players, so looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Make sure when you're on Facebook, we have a Parramatta's Facebook page where you can come along and you can join. It's a private group, but send us an invite and we'd love to add you. And of course, you can catch me on the Dummy M every week. Now, I'm away with the Army for 2 weeks. So the next 2 weeks, Bernie, you are taking command of the show. And yes, I look forward to listening to that, see who the surprise co-host will be.
Well, I can tell you now. Interesting. Come on. It's going to be Jono. It's going to be the
awesome.
The world.
I kind of figured it would be Jono. But
yeah, it's the world's sexiest man, circa 2008.
Yeah,
world's sexiest postman anyway at the time. So we're he'll be joining me for next week's episode. Now, if you don't hear next week's episode and it doesn't exist, it just means I've pressed the wrong button, and it doesn't mean we didn't do it. It just means I haven't uploaded it correctly, which Barry normally takes care of all that stuff. So
I'm so confident you'll have no trouble. And Buzzsprout is an excellent platform, and it's really easy to use. I have no doubt you'll have any troubles. However, all the best to Parramatta for the second trial game. And, of course, the women's team, best of luck. Flog them Knights, my wife's team. Want to make sure that happens. And, as always, my friend, click goes the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
The Parramatta's podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.